It's our joy again to welcome to our pulpit Reverend David McClellan from our congregation in New Hampshire. And our brother is no stranger to us here. We always rejoice to have him, and we appreciate his ministry and the work that God is enabling him to do down in New Hampshire. He is, of course, a dear friend to me, a brother in the ministry, a brother-in-law, which makes it very special as well. And I've always been encouraged with the times of fellowship we've been able to have over the years. It's special between us and our families, and we welcome Gina and their family here as well, because they're up with the young people. Shortly, our brother is going to come and bring the word to us tonight. But before he does, I have asked Sister Kelly Amador to give a word of testimony. We all grieved very much with the Amador family, as back on October the 9th, we heard the news of the sudden and tragic death of their son, Jesse. He was on his way to his work in the morning. He skidded on the road. His car went out of control and off the road, and he was tragically killed. That, for that congregation in New Hampshire, was a great trial. For the family, the Amador family, it was a trial beyond what any of us can really enter into unless we have been there. And we shared in the grief with them. And I know that some folks here went down to be with them during that funeral time. And I had the privilege of speaking at the men's retreat for them in the fall time and spent some time with the family there too. And so I've asked Kelly to come along and just share with us how the Lord has really helped them and how they have leaned upon Him and proved His grace during this most difficult time in their life. Sister, come along.
Please forgive me if this is choppy or doesn't make too much sense, but so much has happened and it's still very fresh. Just real quick, I'll tell you how I came to be saved at 19 years old, 2 weeks before I turned 20. It was a little Baptist church about 40 minutes from my house, and it was a wonderful pastor who discipled me, and the Lord just plucked me out of a very dysfunctional and wicked home life. And I just praise the Lord for that. After about 2 years of being saved, I moved to Colorado, and there I met my husband. And about, I think it was 2 years later or so, we started dating, and we got married within a few months. And my husband had gone to college at Bob Jones, and through feeling kind of like we wanted to move on from our very large congregation in Colorado where he was from and all his family was from, we were led to New Hampshire because my husband had been to college with Pastor Brame, who was a former pastor of the Free Church, and they had started a small work right where I had grown up in Manchester, which I grew up in the town beside Manchester, Bedford. So we were led back by the Lord to come to New Hampshire. It was a very small work. It met in a school, a public school in the art room, and it was pioneer work. And we were beside Joey and David for 15 years. I came out with my two first children, Christina and Valerie. And Valerie was a little baby. She was about 10 months old. Christina was two. And I came first and stayed with my parents, and my husband came 8 weeks later. And, well, after being apart for 8 weeks, Jesse was conceived, and he was our third child, and we were delighted to have a boy. And it was a trial because he was 3 weeks overdue. And if you know Jesse, he was very laid back in some ways and very content. And so that's how he showed himself even in the womb. But when he was born that morning, he just looked up at me and smiled because he was already a month old, and it just made all those 3 weeks of being very pregnant and uncomfortable all just melt away. And he was a delightful baby. He was just so the easiest of, I think, of all my seven, really. He was a thumbsucker. He had his blanket, so he always comforted himself, and he was just content and happy, and he loved his big sisters. And then we went on to have Catherine, who's 22 now, Levi, 19, who is here, and Tamara, 16, and Adriana, who's 13, and my oldest two daughters are married. So just to tell you about us, my husband's an elder in Manchester, and he loves the Lord, and he's a wonderful husband. But just to tell you about Jesse as an adult, Jill was speaking in the ladies' Bible study on Friday morning, and she used that verse about how God uses us clay pots, we're earthen vessels. And I think of Jesse, and I remember Pastor spoke to, and Richard, my husband, at his funeral, and how he was just so simple and content, and he wasn't ambitious, but yet he was steadfast and faithful. He was kind, and he was gentle, but he was also had a bubbly, funny side. Like, he was kind of like two people in one. And he was very humorous, and he loved music, and, you know, music that told stories. He loved the hymns. He just adored singing. And just before he died, he sang in a men's group in our church with Richard, my husband, and some other men the week, I believe, before. He worked in the church nursery with the toddlers. He was very friendly, and everyone talks about his smile. And if you ever see pictures of him, he's just always smiling. And he was that way from the day he was born. He was saved at 10 at Bible camp, which camp is just amazing. So many young people get saved at camp, and we know the Lord uses it. And as much as this work this weekend, like the driving and all the effort with the food and the long trip and the money and all of it, it's worth it because souls are saved, and it's a precious thing. God uses these means of grace. Then he was baptized. I remember he was about 14 or 15, and he gave his testimony. From about 14 to 20, he took karate, became a black belt. He worked at Shaw's. It's a supermarket, and he knew everything about produce. But it was kind of a struggle. I remember the time when he was about 18 and graduating. He just didn't really have direction, and I'm a homeschool mom, but he went on to... we really prayed, and it was going to be maybe either a plumber or an electrician. He just sort of had that personality, and God directed him into the electrician field. So he was going to school nights for about 3.5 years, and he had just finished his school in May. And then he got the books. They're very expensive, but you study to be a journeyman, and that's what he was in the process of doing. He had a really good job in the last year and a half, and he was working very long hours, and that's why he, at 4 o'clock, he got up, and he made his lunch and his breakfast, because he didn't obviously eat at that time, and then he had a long drive for the last 6 months of his life to a town called Claremont. It was an hour and a half every morning, and then he worked a long day, and he'd come home, so he was a very busy young man. But I'll tell you a little bit about... the morning that it happened. My husband works nights, and so we were sleeping in the morning because he didn't get to bed till about 5:30, and we were all have a later schedule now, and so it was about 7:15 or 7:20 in the morning, and my brother walked into the room with our children, and he said, he was just shaking, and he said Jesse was on his way to work, and there was a dead bear on the highway, and he hit the bear, and he's dead. And my husband said, he sat up in bed because he'd only been asleep for about an hour, and he said, the bear is dead? And my brother Steve said, no. And I said, no, it's Jesse. And then the Holy Spirit had me quote this verse, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it cannot bear fruit. And that was the first thing I said. And I don't know why, except that it was the Spirit of God. And I just knew in my heart that many would be saved through his death, and many hearts would be turned to him that were cold. And then I found out later that at the week of prayer, which Jesse died on a Tuesday, and the week of prayer was the prior Sunday, and my husband had been in at the week of prayer down in North Carolina at the... what is their name? Jan and Kimbrough's church. Anyway, So apparently he opened in prayer that week, I think, if he didn't open, he did pray that God would use his sons, and that was a prayer that just came from probably the Spirit of God. So somehow in all this, since this all started, it reminds me of the Red Sea, where there's the pillar of cloud by day to protect you, and this fire, a pillar of fire by night. And so I just think of how the Lord has led us. You know, even before he died, Richard had that prayer. And there's so many other things I could share with you about his wonderful summer and the things he got to do, and his sister who's away at college for 4 years, and they got to spend the summer together because she came home after graduating. After we received that news, we just all crumbled, and my husband put his arms around the girls, and he just started thanking the Lord for sweet Jesse, and he told us to come downstairs, and we sat around the table, and he read us Job 1, and we prayed, and as soon as the prayer, we lifted our heads. Pastor David and Gina came into the kitchen, and were crying, and all day just people were flooding in, and it was like Aaron, you know, holding up the hands of Moses. We've just been supported right from the beginning, and all day Gina just stood right by my shoulder and followed me around and wouldn't leave my side. And my dear brother and pastor, we found out that Jesse had no license or any kind of ID. So they had to go identify his body. And when we heard that, they said we would, you know, a family member. But David and Steve did that, and the Lord just carried us through because there's so much we didn't have to do. And the burden was shared by God's people and our family, our homeschool Christian friends, the fellow churches, as you all have borne this burden of praying for us and grieving with us. We had friends of Jesse's fly in. The Canadians came down. I can't tell you what that meant to us. We were just overwhelmed by the show of people. There were 1,200 people at the wake, and I don't know how we stood there and talked to them all, but God just gave grace. He just carried us like up in his arms and in his hands. And at the funeral, which we had at another church because ours is so, you know, not big enough to hold as many as we thought we'd have, that's where our homeschool group is. And we just were inundated with food for 6 weeks and gifts and the memorial fund, which this church has given a large donation. We're just praising the Lord for all that God is showing us. Through it all, the Lord has given me so many songs, and in the hymns we sing in church, they just mean so much more. Like we were just singing Abide With Me and Life or Death. Everything just touches my heart, and God has been so kind. And one of the biggest, of course, blessings is my searching old books and new books about grief and about heaven, and I've been so blessed. The last part of Luke 16:9 the Word of God says, into everlasting habitations, and that was the first thing I thought of was the horror of his accident. Just, oh my goodness, it was just to imagine, you know, we didn't even have the opportunity to say he's in the hospital or what's, you know, is he going to be all right? It was he's dead. And I just went into the bathroom and fell over, and there's this white floor and in my bathroom, and I thought of the clouds, and I said, Lord, he's with you. And I just kept not listening to the hard things, you know, the accident or the horror of it, but just kept remembering he's in the everlasting habitations. And 2 Peter 1:10, it says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Samuel Rutherford, I have this precious little red book. It says, as he was lent a while to time, so is he given now to eternity. And he calls heaven the land of life, which it is. And Jesse was welcomed into a new heavenly home abundantly. By that, I think of the prior relatives who are believers, the Christian friends. The angels made him feel well-received into his new home. He had familiar faces greet him. Like now, I just have been searching for 3 months in books and in the scriptures that, you know, books that have scripture, and just want to find everything out about heaven and what Jesse's doing. And in a flash, an instant, a step, his next breath, because absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Samuel Rutherford also said in a sweet little book, the bloom is fallen in heaven in Christ's lap. And these things have comforted me. Jesus' resurrected body is a pattern for ours, Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I just love the fact that we will have a body. Jesse has a body. The horror of my son in a morgue, in a place to be parted out for medicine. He was given his body as a donation for organ donator. And that was very hard to deal with. And to think of him in the funeral parlor and then to see him in the casket, I was so fearful about that. But God gave grace because I clung to his word and the promises that he would be fashioned like unto the glorious body of my Savior. And then to go to the cemetery and have to see that my son, the body of my son, go into the ground. The only way to keep my faith is to cling to verses like these, that his body, Jesse's, is now fashioned unto Jesus' glorious body, and my faith becomes sight as I picture Jesse this way now, not in the horror of death and these things I experienced along with his death. I will recognize my son's voice one day again, as Mary in the garden recognized Jesus' voice. And I told Tamara, please don't erase his voice from your message, because she got his old phone, and sometimes I call it just to hear his voice. But that's precious to me, because we will hear his voice one day, even if he looks even better than he did on earth. The deep stabs of pain and missing him, his voice, his ways, his humor, his presence, eating with him at every turn, every holiday and birthday, the church picnics, Sunday in church, that was hard the first Sunday, but it was so sweet. Even Gina said that it is well with me, my soul, which we sang at the graveside. We sang it in church, and it never sounded as beautiful as it did that morning. I still feel like Jesse is close, and these are some things in a book. It said, another little old book I have, I'm quoting, to Christ, after all, the members of the same body cannot be very far from each other. Other believers, I don't know what I have here, but because all the members of the same body were all in the same body, and he's in the body because he was a believer. And so when we touch him from the earth, we're not far from each other because we're all in the body of Christ. And those who touch Christ from the heaven side meet us in him when we touch him, Christ, from the earth side. And what does Jesse think of me now and Richard and his brothers and sisters? Well, because 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, love never dies. And there is a lot of love in our family. And so death may cut off the interchange of words and acts of love, but its cold hand cannot touch that which is divine in origin, eternal in nature, and everlasting in duration. And so I just think of how our love never dies. And I was just reading, I think it was last night, but that Joseph, when he was in Egypt, and he finally saw his brother Benjamin, and he cried on his neck. And then he saw his father, Jacob, and he just wept for a long time upon his neck. And I don't believe that Jesse has forgotten us while he's in heaven. I think he's worshiping the Lord. He may be praying for the work here and on this earth and the body to just keep, Lord, keep saving and bringing all the family of God to heaven. Jesse is near to the heart of God in his presence, and he waits for me, for us, in the presence and bosom of God. I want to walk as close to God as I can, so I can be close to Jesus and Jesse. Heaven is nearer and sweeter now. Samuel Rutherford always said, Christ must have the yoke of my heart, and Jesse is beside him there. And one of the books I read on grief talked about how it's natural. Like, you think of heaven, and now I just think of Jesse, 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 and that's just our flesh. But this helped me when I read that Christ should have the yoke, and Jesse can be beside him. And, of course, all my other children are there, too, and my husband. Go on and faint not. Something of yours is in heaven beside the flesh of your exalted Savior, and you go on after your own. And so that's encouraging to read these sweet old books. But there was also something I shared with Gina once weeks ago, and I don't know how long have I talked. It said, "This I have a note, October 31st, take no heavier lift of your children than your Lord alloweth. Give them room beside your heart, but not in the yoke of your heart where Christ should be, for then they are your idols, not your bairns. If your Lord take any of them home to his house before the storm come on, take it well. The owner of the orchard may take down two or three apples off his own tree before midsummer, and ere they get the harvest sun, and it would not be seemly that his servant the gardener should chide him for it. Let our Lord pluck his own fruit at any season he pleaseth. They are not lost to you. They are laid up so well as that they are coffered in heaven where our Lord's best jewels lie." And Jesse was truly, after he died, I found out so many things about him that I didn't know. I didn't know all these sweet deeds he did and kind things he did, and that he was as much of a witness at work or karate. I thought I worried about him so much, I guess I never stopped to realize that he really loved the Lord. And this is another part in the book that spoke to me a lot. It said, "The good husbandman may pluck his roses and gather in his lilies at midsummer, and for aught I dare say in the beginning of the first summer month, and he may transplant young trees out of the lower ground to the higher, where they have more of the sun and more of the free air at any season of the year." And this little book has just been so sweet to me. But some of the things the Lord has taught me through his word and through these books, that handling grief and death and holding to the promises of the word. Jesse is worthy of great sorrow. Before I can get on with my life, I have to give way to my grief, which I have. You can ask my family. They don't like to see me cry as much. And my husband even looked at me in the mirror about 4 days ago and said, "All this crying is aging you." I think he's tired of it. But as time passes, it is pulling me away from the initial shock and grief, but it is lessening. Still, it's not gone. I and my family and his friends are adjusting. We learned that others grieve different from myself. Well, that's what I've learned. The new normal is different. It's hard. The firsts are really hard. His first Christmas without him, Thanksgiving, of course. My kids were very sad, and we went to a family reunion, and especially Valerie, well, and Catherine, they just weren't themselves. And Christmas was, I think, very, very hard on me. I just was in a cave for about 2 weeks, very depressed. But I got through it recently, and I just know that his birthday's coming up February 3rd. But Philippians 1:6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." So the Lord is working in our lives, and we're growing and learning. We are getting closer in my marriage and with our Christian friends. This is one of the blessings that God is revealing, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in all of us. We've seen so much love, so much joy comes from this love. It's a blessing to my heart. The gentleness of God. I always loved that verse when the kids were little. He will gently lead you who are with young. And God has been so gentle to me and to my family with all the help and the way things have worked out. And I just would like to close with a sweet little card that I got from Amy McGuire, one of my dearest friends. On November 9th, she said, "Already it has been a month, and maybe it seems like only a day, or maybe it seems like a year, since dear Jesse was called home. I came across this poem that I have written in my Bible and thought of you. Passing out of the shadow into a pure light, stepping behind the curtain, getting a clearer sight, passing out of the shadow into eternal day. Why do we call it dying, this sweet going away?" And she just said, "May the Lord continue to strengthen, help, and uphold you with the right hand of his righteousness until we all have our passing out of the shadow day." And Pastor McClellan said that death is only a shadow. And I just read something about how a parent was trying to explain what death really was. And the train goes by, and a train is so, you know, it can be so devastating, but we didn't really have a train wreck as hard as it's been. We just had the shadow of that train fall upon us, and it's such a difference to be in Christ, to have the hope of heaven, to know my son loved the Lord and is with the Lord. The moment he died, he was with Christ. I just am so thankful for the salvation God has given me and the salvation that he gave to my son. And just thank you for letting me share.
When I had to speak after Kelly eulogized at Jesse's funeral, I felt at that time that was the hardest thing I'd ever have to do. It seems like this is a repeat all over again. Real happy just to close in prayer and to thank the Lord for the strength that he has given to this dear woman. On October the 9th, our congregation was changed, I believe, forever. Changed because of profound grief, grief like I've never experienced before. If you could have been at the prayer meeting the day after Jesse's death, your heart would have been moved. Big, strong men. So many of those who are about the same age as Jesse were reduced just to weeping and to call upon the name of the Lord. The median age of our congregation is 24, and Jesse was taken in his 24th year. And so his departure has crushed our congregation in a way that I say will never be the same. We're changed not only because of grief, but we are changed because of God's grace. Never seen grief like it, and yet we've never seen grace like it. In a most unique way, it's been one of the hardest times, the hardest time we've ever been through, and perhaps, strangely enough, the best time we've ever been through. All of a sudden, the things that would divide us become totally irrelevant. All of a sudden, those things that would cause friction become things that we'd prefer to put behind us. And all of a sudden, the gospel that sometimes is far away becomes very near. The reality of a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. The reality of the fragility of our lives. The reality that we're all passing and our lives are but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. These things have been brought before us, and we have seen the grace of God give strength like I don't think any of us could ever believe. And several ladies in the congregation say, as every mother would say, I don't think I could ever go through this. As I've thought about it in my mind, I could never go through this until I've seen Kelly Amador sustained by the grace of God, broken, crushed, and yet sustained even through what to every mother would be her worst nightmare. We've watched also all six of the siblings graciously bear this grief and continue in it to give a testimony to the grace of God. And I'm thankful because it's even as Kelly testifies here, her dear husband, who is the clerk of my session, is preaching in our pulpit with strength that only the Lord could give him. As we look at the grief and we anticipate what it would be like should we be there, God doesn't give to us grace to imagine, but he does give grace for reality. And these dear folks have faced a crushing reality, and yet the Lord's grace has been there for them, and they together as a family have testified to the all-sufficiency of the Lord in the worst tragedy that life could ever bring. I would ask you to pray for them. The waves of grief continue to come. And our prayer as a congregation for them has been that with each wave of grief there would come an equal and greater wave of his grace, that in their grief they will prove, as they have done, that the Lord is a faithful Savior and he is near unto those who are of a broken heart. The outpouring of expressions of grief from all our denomination and so from so many was an amazing thing. I had to write letters, the receipt of funds that were given to the Jesse Amador Memorial Fund for the building of our new church building, and had over 100 letters that were sent out to different people. And I want to take an opportunity to thank you as a congregation, because I received a phone call in shortly after this tragedy from your pastor indicating that your board had made a decision to send us a gift of $10,000 in the memory of Jesse to our building fund. That was a tremendous encouragement to me, a tremendous encouragement to our board, especially to this dear family. It was a token of the mercy of the Lord, And so I thank you. I thank your board for that decision, but I thank you as a congregation, by extension, for your support and your love and your care. It has been most meaningful. And I would also share with you that token amount that we received was just a confirmation regarding something we've talked about for a long time, and that is a building project. But we believe that the Lord would have us go forward. So if you've come to New Hampshire in the last 11 years, you've heard about a building project. Well, in the will of the Lord, we're going to begin that this coming spring. And we're looking forward, and we'd ask your prayer just for direction, how to direct those funds that have been laid aside in Jesse's memory in a very meaningful and a worshipful and in a very sensitive way to recognize his memory. He'll never be forgotten. We have people in our congregation who'll never be the same. His closest workmates and friends. I say this is it's been a time most unique, but we sure thank you as a congregation for your support and your love to our church and our family and this dear family. So continue to pray for them and for us, and we thank you in Jesus' name.